Hey guys, thank you so much for stopping by Legend Church's weekly podcast. Just a quick reminder, you can check us out at legendchurch.com, find us on Facebook and Instagram, and Sunday mornings in Madisonville. But hey, without further ado, set the cruise control, start Matt Marun, or grab a drink, and let's talk about all things Jesus.
All right. Thank you for coming out today. Sorry if you're online and you heard me singing Old Saint Nick, because that's what I was singing, and that's just what I do. I think this is the first week since we've been here that we've had, like, for me, a normal. We had, like, the very first weekend here, and then we had Easter, and they aren't normal. So it's kind of nice just to be back to normal. Being in, I think I counted 23 years of the day, I've been like professional ministry. You get to really experience a lot of weird things, especially when I was a youth pastor in the early 2000s. There was this time, I was in Virginia, and there was this time where all these local youth pastors got together, and they're like, hey, what are we going to do about these kids, guys? And one of the guys was like, hey, I really think it's a shame that all these kids come to our churches, but they don't know about hell. And we were all like, at the time, I was a kid, I was like, yeah, I guess they don't. And they were like, we got to do something that's going to teach these kids about hell and telling their friends. And I was young, I was like, yeah, I guess so. And so we came up with this thing. It was 3 days long. There were 125 teenagers, and it was called Persecution Weekend, which there is no other more first world ministry issue than hey guys, what if we were persecuted? That'd be crazy, right? But that's what we did. So what happened when you came to this Persecution Weekend was, I need to stop saying that they did it, because I was a part of it. We did it. You would come and, like, basically there was a lot of work that needed to be done for the camp, like building tables and cleaning up trash. So your job throughout the day was to do work, and you were like some citizen of some country, and you got paid in like rubies or something if you did the work, but you had to sacrifice these rubies to these idols at the end of the day, and that's how you got food. But then, like, there was someone who was given the role of, like, the Christian, and he was supposed to go around, or she was supposed to go around and get other people to not, hey, we don't do that, which means you don't get to eat, which means if you got found out, you got put in prison, which was this really hot horse trailer that we locked. We literally locked kids in there. We're like, ha-ha, you're in the prison. And it did not work, guys. It did not work. By the end of the week, there was about 10 kids who went rogue. Ran into the woods and didn't come out. They would come out every now and then with spears and shake them and then run back in. And they're like, we got our own food. The Christians all decided that they didn't need to work anymore because, like, hey, we don't believe in this. We're not working and we'll get our own food. And then everyone else thought it was really fun to persecute people and put them in prison and tattle on each other. That guy, and it was a hot, hot mess. And it was one of many things that I look back on now. And say, man, I think we really missed it. I think we really missed what was going on there. We really got it wrong. When it comes to this idea, Jason introduced us to it last week, this idea of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, afterlife, whatever you want to say, eternity, kingdom, hell, heaven, I think we've gotten it really wrong, especially since the 18th century, the large church, we as a collective, I can't say them because we, I think I've gotten it wrong, the way we talk about it, the way we interact with it and what we think about it. I can't stand up here and say, hey guys, I know exactly what's going to happen in the next, right? I can't do that. But what Jason and I can do is say, hey, this is what ancient people thought about it. This is what the writers of the Bible thought about it. And this is what the Bible says about these sort of things. And I think we find that it is absolutely different than what traditionally Christianity, what traditionally we have thought about the kingdom. So Jason introduced it in the Lord's Prayer last week, where they pray, your kingdom come, God, your kingdom come. What does that mean? So that's what we're, for the next couple weeks, we're going to explore through that. It started because Sally, who just walked out. She's like, I'm out. She called me, her and Ash called me on Easter. Easter afternoon, and they were like, hey, you know, we just spent a whole morning talking about resurrection and Jesus, resurrection from the dead. And she's like, what do we do with that? What does that mean? She's like, does it mean that we're all just going to hell? And because of this resurrection, we get out of it. We don't do it now. We're not going there now. Is that what it means? Is this what we're talking about? And the answer I gave her was no. If that's all it is, then we have been misled. If that's all it is, then the Bible misrepresents itself a lot. That it's not that. Like, I think I grew up in a world where, like, I remember, like, some youth pastor. I just make fun of youth pastors all the time. But some was like, you know, it's as if you're getting pulled over by the law. I'm from the South. They say the law there. It's as if you're getting pulled over by the police, and they're going to give you a ticket, but then Jesus comes in and says, no, I'll take the ticket and take the crime for you, and that's how it works. That's wrong, right? That's not exactly... when we think about the kingdom, and when we think about the next, and we think about what this means, and we think about resurrection and these things that we've talked about recently, there's something off there. And we know there's something off because Sally and Ash called and asked something that probably most of our culture thinks. What does this mean? Why are we so excited about this on Easter? What's the deal here? Because I think we throw out words like resurrection and things like that all the time. And not always fully, even myself, getting what we're saying there. But the first question, and maybe the one question I want to ask and try to answer this morning, is what is the Bible concerned with? What is the Bible really concerned with? Is it concerned with the afterlife? Is that what it's about? Is it concerned with heaven and hell and who's going and who's not? Is that what the Bible is about? Is it concerned with judgment? Is it concerned with being right? Like, oh, I'm reading this so I can be right. Is it concerned with knowing things? I would say no, it's not concerned with any of those things. That's not what its concern is. The Bible is very concerned about Jesus, about his teaching, and his teaching kind of on one central thing, which is this idea of the kingdom, the next age, the thing to come. There's something really important there. Jason and I use the word that we love, new creation. That there was creation, things coming into existence, breath, life, and there's something new coming. I think it is concerned with that. And it's concerned with not whatever is going to happen when we die, but it's concerned with that happening now and here and present. The Bible is very interested in what we think about God, and what we think about Jesus, and what we think about them here and now and in our present. It is very interested in what you, this is an interesting take, what you as a believer think. So when we come to the scriptures, it is interested in you as someone who believes in this Yahweh. I believe in this creator God. Oh man, and I dig this Jesus guy. And so I'm coming to this because that's for me, and it's written for you. If you don't dig that, if you don't believe in it, it's not written for you, man. It's just not for you. Like, it's cool. Man, you can read it and be excited about it or whatever. It's like me and the Book of Mormon. I don't care about it. And that's not a hot take on Mormons. It's just, I don't care about Joseph Campbell Joseph Smith that much. Joseph Campbell, don't care about him either. Just kidding. Joseph Smith that much. It's not what I'm interested in. I'm not curious about it. So, man, that Book of Mormon's not for me. It's not for me. It's for the people who are into that, man. And they can read that. And same with that, I think sometimes we use the scriptures less for us and more for others. But man, it's not about that. It's for the people who are in, the people who are digging what's going on and want to be a part of this story. And so the kingdom, this idea, and it's used so much, a lot in the new and a lot in the old, the age and the age to come, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven. Very central to Jesus's teachings. Like, most of his stories about, man, the kingdom's like this. you heard it like this, but the kingdom's like this. If you want to be in the kingdom, you're going to be like this. This is what Jesus was talking about a lot. So first off, what was it to first, just to the ancient Jews who were writing the scriptures, who were part of it? Man, they were, were persecuted. We have Egypt, we have Babylon, we have Persia, we have Rome, a persecuted people, these people of God who believe in this creator Yahweh, who's done all these things, who delivers them, who they go back into bondage, they deliver them, and they believed that one day, in the future, whenever, there's going to be a resurrection. And it wasn't one person. It wasn't one person's going to come and resurrect. It's going to be God's going to come and reconcile us. He's going to come and save us. Finally, one final deliverance where God, who we believe, the Jews, who they believed is just and good, is going to come and make an age where all things, here and now, it's not there. That's not a thing. It's not there. It's here. And he's going to come, he's going to make these things right, and we're going to live in this new kingdom, and we're all going to be resurrected was a thing for all of us, not just for this one person. And that's what's going to happen, and they believe that, and they would talk about that. And that day is going to come, and God's going to come, and it's not about the afterlife, it's about what we're doing now and what happens in this resurrection. And that was the deal. And then we get this New Testament story, this story of Jesus that changes that, where they're now telling a story. And we're reading about this guy who comes and talks about this kingdom in a different way. This kingdom isn't in the next. This kingdom is coming now. It's coming here. And then this kingdom that he represented didn't last very long because they killed him. He's like, when you try to live in this, it does not fit with our current world. Who would have thought love and being nice to people was good? They kill him, right? They don't like it. When that happens, there's a resurrection of one person, right? It wasn't resurrection. And so when Paul and all these guys are writing, they're like, hey, it's different than we thought. It's not resurrection. This person resurrected in that day. Actually, I have a chart. This was all of Bible college. I learned this one thing. Thank you for doing that. I should have done it myself. That's it. I'm in debt a lot forever because of this one thing I learned. Not from you, Dr. Thatcher. This is somebody else. There's life, right? This is the history of the world from beginning to wherever. And what the belief is that they had is that in some point in this world at this time in the first century, there was this guy Jesus who they called Messiah, who died, and they believe resurrected from the dead, and in that moment conquered death and conquered evil in the world. And instead of it being this start of a new time at the end when all things are better, they would say, man, that new creation started then. So they're teaching these new things. They're like, hey, remember we thought it was going to be in the end. It's actually now. And that new creation is sort of simultaneously happening while we're living here. So Jason will say things, sometimes he said it last week, like the now and not yet. That's good biblical language. New creation, the age and the age to come. And the age to come and the new kingdom is not an afterlife in heaven. Not that that's not a thing, but that's not what we're talking about here. The kingdom is something that, now Jesus said, hey, I'm inviting you to be a part of. And when we subscribe to Christianity, when we say, yes, we're into this thing, we're subscribing to, yes, we're these people who live in this new creation now. There's a way that Paul puts it, if you can slip to the next one, in Ephesians. He said, this is kind of what he thought. This is what he's saying. Hey, this is the end of it, guys. God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan that he already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and earth, with Christ as its head, right? All things coming together. And so I'm going back to what the Bible is concerned with. You never see the Bible say something about earth and hell. No, it doesn't. It says a lot about heaven and earth coming together. We get this image in Revelation where the new Jerusalem comes down to earth. It's all here and now. And we really need to emphasize before we go any further that what the Bible is concerned with is how we are interacting with that new kingdom, with what's going on right here, right now. So when we go to funerals and we hear about, a place of no tears, a place where things are good and right and we're reunited with others, it's this kingdom. And what we're doing now is getting ready to be and supposed to be image bearers, right? So we are supposed. So if we take the creation story, the creation poem, where there's people in a garden and it's beautiful, and then God makes animals and fruits. I don't know, fruits good, right? Fruits. I wanted to say candy, but it's not there, I guess. I love candy. And Emmet, right? What's the deal? If we're looking at, especially if you look at it as a metaphor of a temple, which is maybe what it was supposed to be, there's the thing in the middle, the image bearer, the thing that bears God's image, and that's people, right? Man, they are the image bearer. So now, man, all those, they're coming to talk about Jesus, and like there's a new thing going on, and the image bearer of God is now us in this new creation. It's now me and you, anyone who says, yes, I'm into this Jesus thing, I want to follow that. And everything Jesus does and everything he teaches us is about how to act in that kingdom. Kingdom come. There's a way that God, the world should be ordered, and we all live in it, and we know that it's not how it is. But it's our job to be the image bearer to show this is how it should be. We miss it sometimes. We misinterpret things. We get things wrong. We will bring evil into the world. We'll bring lies. We'll bring hate. We'll bring maliciousness. We'll bring greed. We'll bring lust. We'll bring these sort of things that we are not meant to be. We bring those into the world. And that's when we talk about things like sin or things like that. We are part of that. But it's not how we're supposed to be. It's not how we're supposed to live in that kingdom. I thought this whole entire sermon series was just going to be like, here's a story of Jesus about how to live in the kingdom. And we'd be like, yeah, let's do that. And it probably will from this moment on for me. Like, hey, here's a story of Jesus. He says you should do this. Let's do that. But something weird happened to me this week. I was reading the Bible. Only because I was listening to a podcast first of a guy that I like, and he was just like, reminded me, I think there's a great quote that says, most of the time we don't need to learn something new, we just need to be reminded of things we already know. And this reminded me, he was like, I don't know why we read scripture, like we do up here, verse at a time. He's like, it was never designed to be read in this little tiny verse and snippets of knowledge for us to click our heels and say, yay. It's all only meant to be read, as the letter's meant to be read whole. He's like, why wouldn't we? Psalms are read whole. We don't read verses. He's like, it's just, we're missing out. And I was like, oh, that's really good. I should do that. And so I picked a really short book, which was 5 chapters, Thessalonians 1. I have no idea why I picked it. But I was like, oh, it's short. And I'm like, because he was like, do Romans. I'm like, that's like a lot of chapters. And I don't have that time. But I was like, Thessalonians is nice. And so I read it on Monday. I read it. I was like, oh, man, this was really good and refreshing for my soul. It's a great practice. I mean, if you haven't even do it, it's just the whole thing. And then on Tuesday, I read it again. You know, Wednesday, I read it again. And I don't do a lot with Paul. Jason's Paul. I let him do all the Paul stuff. I really like Jesus because he's cool. And he's easy to talk about. But I'm reading this, the Apostle Paul writing this to this church. And the cool thing about Thessalonians is that it wasn't, you know, the disciples are in Paul, they're big time, right? They're going around, they're talking. Everyone's like, yay, they're here. But they would leave these small communities. And Thessalonians was kind of just a small. It wasn't Ephesus, like where this big, all this important stuff happens. Just a small place. Who they're not going to have the biggest impact in the world. They're not going to do this. But he wrote them this letter, and he called them the light. I love it. He's like, man, you're the light here. And he says, these are the things that you need to do. And I was like, man, this is good for just local community and who we are. And I read this, and I read this 3 times, and I really liked it. This is Thessalonians 5. And says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I read that a couple times, and it took a couple times to sink in. But I was like, oh, for Paul, and it's just a list. There's lots of different lists. But in this one, for this group, man, this is how you live in that kingdom. You got to do these things. And so I just went and made a list that's less Bible words and just my list. But man, I wrote, and I was like, man, can I do this? Can I not be idle and disruptive? Can I encourage the disheartened? Can I help the weak? Can I be patient with everyone? Can I not pay back wrong for wrong? Can I strive to do what is good for others? Notice it's others, not me. Rejoice always. Can I pray continually? Can I give thanks in all circumstances? Can I not quench the spirit, what God's doing in and around me in my world? Can I test knowledge? Can I hold on to what is good? And can I reject evil? I can spend my lifetime with just this list and not read anything else and strive really hard and probably not get it. But this is what it means. So there's this kingdom, right? The king. When we think about the kingdom of God, to live in that kingdom, it's being this kind of person. Oh, well, this kind of person. And I don't know, man. When that kingdom arrives, the idea is that we're striving towards it now. If we can be that type of person that does those sort of things, or man, take something else. Take loving your enemies. Take killing your ego and putting yourself last. Any of these things that Jesus taught, just take one and try it for the rest of your life. But praying and reading the scriptures and listening to the Spirit, if we can be that, one day when that kingdom does come, we will walk in and be like, yes, I know how to live here. I know how to live in here. I get it. I get what everyone's doing. I get how this world operates, with the idea that the age now doesn't operate that way. Man, we're very selfish. We're very greedy. We're very into us. We love our egos. And so as we start, the idea is that we are shaping ourselves now. We are the image bearers. We are the image bearers. Because this is how it could be. This is how it could be. And one day when that kingdom comes, not that we go to, when it comes, we will know. We will say, yeah, I get it. I know how to live here. I can do it. And so that's as we go through the next couple of weeks talking about, man, what does it look like to live in that kingdom? These are the type of people that we are shaping ourselves to be. We have not arrived. That's not what Christianity is about. That we arrived. I got the thing now. I listened to the resurrection thing. I got the ticket. That's not it. It is, we are shaping always to be these kingdom kind of people. And man, no one in the world will look at these kind of kingdom people and say, yeah, that's horrible. They'll only look at you and look at your growth and be like, yeah, that's what I want to be. That's our goal. That's what we're doing. I'm going to pray. We're going to move into our time of communion. Basically, the way we've been doing it, there's some cups in your pew if you just want to do it that way. If you'd like to come up and dip the bread in the juice, it's a little bit of a line. But this morning, and focus, if you have your own practice, do that. But if you need something, maybe pray the Lord's Prayer. God, your kingdom come. And when that kingdom comes, let me be the type of person who's going to jive with this kingdom and fit in. But whatever, I'm going to pray anytime during the song, come and do communion. And we'll keep going. God, thank you for the scriptures this week for me. Lord, a lot of times I read things or I'm people who write about you and write about the scriptures. And sometimes I neglect just reading them and listening to it and reflecting on it. Be with us. This whole kingdom idea, that there is a kingdom to gain and a kingdom to bear, and that we want to be part of that. And Lord, I pray that you let me be the best image bearer in that I can be. And you let us as a church be the best image bearer of that we can be. Forgive us when we mess up, because we will mess up all the time. But man, be with us when we get it right. And whatever happens, Lord, post-death, death that's been defeated and conquered, post this age, whatever the next is, the life after life, man, I hope that I get to walk in and we get to walk in and be like, yeah, we get this. We understand what's going on here. Let us be those kind of kingdom people. Amen.